You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
My message today is about child care. You may often hear the words daycare. Both indicate a place where parents can leave their preschool children during the day while the parents go to work. Daycare is a substitute for dad or mom taking care of the young children during the day. Child care. Daycare. If you're not aware of it yet, I want you to know that child care can be a most controversial topic. Consider the possible thoughts of a parent who leaves a young preschool child at a daycare facility. Imagine some thoughts that an employed parent may have during the day. For example, my mom didn't go off to work. She was at home when I was little. She was there when I came home from school. Should I be more like my mother? Or, I wish I could stay home with my baby, but my husband keeps crabbing about how we need the money. I just have to work. Or, I planned a professional career before my marriage. I plan to continue that even though I have children. But I often have feelings of guilt because I don't have much time with my children. Or finally, the school nurse just called. My child's sick. I can't get away from work. This wouldn't happen if I weren't working. Those were four examples of some of the thoughts that an employed parent of a young child can have. But parents who stay at home have some pretty strong feelings, too. Consider some thoughts that a parent at home might have. I went to college to get an education and make a contribution to the world. And here I am, changing diapers and not using my education. Or, my husband was worrying last night at supper about the bills. He's never said that I should go to work, but maybe that's what he really wants. Or, I have no use for anyone that has babies and then drops them off for some stranger to raise. If they're going to have them, they should raise them. Or, I'm sick and tired of getting called to do this or do that simply because I happen to be at home. Why don't those people going to work pull their fair share at church or at school? Thus far, the examples of the possible thoughts of parents who stay home to raise their children and those parents who are employed and hire someone else to provide care. From the strong feelings of individuals all the way up to the federal government in Washington, child care for preschoolers is a most important contemporary issue. And as I said before, this can be a controversial issue. The emotions are highly charged. Kate White is the editor of a magazine called Child. She was recently quoted in USA Today saying, "In the 60s, the working mother was on the defensive. Then the non-working mother was on the defensive. Now everybody's defensive." So what a privilege. What a privilege for you and me to be able to go to God, our Heavenly Father, for help. How blessed we are to be able to go to God every day for help in the decisions that we, and not just parents, but all of us, in those decisions that we have to make every day. What a golden opportunity we have now to ask the great God for wisdom. James chapter 1 says, "If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to everyone with an open hand." And it's not only the privilege of being able to pray to God for His help and wisdom, but we have now that wisdom presented to us in the pages of the Bible. 2 Peter says, "We have, as something more sure, the prophetic word. Please look to it as to a light shining in a gloomy place." The gloomy emotions that parents feel about working out of the home or in the home are often guilty emotions. The Bible offers mothers and fathers a cheering, forgiving light. the great God who teaches us to call Him Father, the great God who instituted marriage and the family, has a very great interest in the way you and I care for our children. What a great blessing it will be if you and I hear what God has to say and then radiate God's interest in children. God would have us to be helpful and caring people to one another, even in the midst of such an emotionally charged issue as child care. God's interest in people is a loving interest. His love has removed your guilt. We all have plenty to feel guilty about. It doesn't matter whether you're a father or mother. It doesn't matter whether you're working in or outside of the home. It doesn't matter if your children are still at home or grown and on their own. We are sinners. Parents, too. We have not always followed God's ways. We have not made His commandments our constant delight. We often imagine we know what's best for our children. Oh, I see that all the time. Parents sometimes break their arms from patting themselves on the back for being such great modern parents. Come on. Let's be honest. The Bible teaches that we are all sinners. We all are inclined to our ways rather than God's way. Isaiah 53 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way." Even saved sinners, even sinners who know that God's Son, Jesus Christ, has removed our guilt and is our only hope for this life and the life to come, even we have not yet reached heavenly perfection. We still daily sin much. We often have failed our children. So, how wonderful it is that our Heavenly Father sent His Son Jesus to pay for our guilt. You can't manipulate guilt for your sins out of existence. Sooner or later, it will come back to haunt you. You may repress your guilt for the rest of your life, but on Judgment Day it will stare you in the face. So how wonderful it is, how relevant it is for parents to know that Jesus has removed your guilt. When Jesus died on the cross, He suffered God's righteous anger at your sins. To prove that your sins were fully paid for, I'll say that again, fully paid for, the Father raised His Son from the dead on Easter morning. We Christians look back at the sins of our lives and regret that they happened, but we also thank God that those sins are fully paid for and forgiven. We parents look back at the mistakes we made with our children, and our hearts may break. But we know that Jesus, the Son of Mary and the Son of God, has paid the price and can mend broken hearts. We Christians can, and I pray that through this message of Jesus Christ, you will. Look to today and tomorrow, encouraged by hope, filled with thanks, radiant with appreciation, and eager to help others, because the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son to rouse and strengthen lively faith in you and in all people. That's the motivation behind all that the Bible says about parenting. We have a Heavenly Father, we have a loving Savior, we have an active and lively Holy Spirit. With such great motivation, listen to what else the Bible teaches us about being parents. Listen to these instructions from the great 6th chapter of Deuteronomy. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." That was Deuteronomy chapter 6. I say that again because I hope you'll look the passage up after today's broadcast, especially you parents. God commands us to diligently teach His words to our children. He says we should do that when we're sitting around the house. He says we should talk about His redeeming love when we walk by the way. But today we might say when we're driving in the car. God says to talk about Him with our children when we lie down and when we rise up. Someone has said that when it comes to children, the correct way to spell love is T-I-M-E. We parents aren't going to instill God's words of forgiveness and love and hope in our children if we don't spend time with them. I don't accept the recent notion that quality time is a substitute for quantity time. Children need both quantity and quality time. The best lessons I learned from my parents were not learned when they tried to teach me. I learned the most from my parents in what some people call quantity time. Those are the lessons I treasure. Yes, you do spell love, T-I-M-E. Jesus took time for us. Shouldn't we take more time for our children? Many parents are spelling love, T-I-M-E. I was surprised recently. I was genuinely surprised. When I saw Census Bureau statistics cited that said that 54% of children under age 5 are cared for by a mother who stays at home. 54% of preschoolers are cared for by their mother. On top of that, 7% are cared for by dads and moms who both work but work different shifts. Another 4% are cared for by their mothers who also babysit for other children. When we add those percentages together, we discover that 65% of preschool children are cared for primarily by their parents. Another 11% is cared for by grandmothers or some other relative. These families are not all living on some financial easy street. The median income for a dual-income family for 1986 was $38,346. Statistics, statistics, statistics. What does it all mean? It means many things. But it does mean that there are many parents who are giving time to their preschool children. Often that time is being given at a sacrifice. Now, sacrifices are not an easy thing to make. In any area of life, a sacrifice takes motivation. Remember the motivation you have whenever you second-guess your role as a stay-at-home parent. You have a heavenly Father. You have a loving Savior. You have an active and lively Holy Spirit. Staying at home gives you the opportunity with God's help and wisdom to impart that faith to your children. But now, what about the parents who don't stay at home? About 24% of preschoolers are cared for by someone other than a relative. 10% are in home-based care centers. 3% have personal babysitters. And 11% attend day care centers. It is tempting, and I use tempting here in the religious sense of a temptation to sin. It is tempting for Christians who were raised in a traditional family setting, or for mothers who stay at home, to criticize working mothers. They should stay at home and take care of their children. Now, I'm sure that there are cases where mothers have gone off to work motivated by career ambitions or the love of money. But in many, many cases, that is not why mothers are working. Let me quote a special edition of Newsweek. Nobody is saying that mothers ought to stay home until their kids are ready for college. Besides that, it would be economically impossible. 2/3 of all working women are the sole support of their families or are married to men who earn less than $15,000 a year. 2/3 of working women have to work. One important factor causing that is this. In 1948, the average American family paid 2% of its income for federal taxes. Today, that figure has jumped to 24%. Not all, but many working mothers have to work. Well, again, statistics. What does it all mean? It means many things, but it does mean that many young parents are struggling to cope with life, and they need to know that God is their refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. They need to hear those words of Deuteronomy, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Therein is the motivation for the sacrifice that these parents are making. The sacrifice of trying to make ends meet and giving time, T-I-M-E, to their children as best they can. These parents, too, have a Heavenly Father who cares. They have a Savior who loves, and they have a Holy Spirit who, through word and sacrament, can help them. To stay home or not to stay home? This is an issue that should not divide Christians, but rather move us closer together. We need to talk with one another about how we care for our children. We need to praise and encourage one another whenever we see another making sacrifices for the Christian nurture of children. We need to offer help to one another, not just pious platitudes, but real help. We need to pray for parents, not just to say, "Oh, I'll pray for you," but to really take time to do it. The Christian care of our children should not divide, but should unite us. There is a fine passage in Proverbs chapter 31 that describes a wise woman. Now, child care is not simply a woman's issue. Raising children is the responsibility of both father and mother. Listen as I read from Proverbs 31. And I hope that you'll look at this passage after the broadcast, just as I hope you'll look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. As you study this passage later, you'll see that the woman described here works both in and out of her home. But you'll discover something else. She has a husband who trusts and praises her. She has children who willingly bless her. She lives among people who are not hesitant to speak words of commendation. That's the way it ought to be, not just in biblical times, but today also. For the woman of Proverbs who fears the Lord does have contemporary counterparts. Today there are countless women and men who fear the Lord. These are people who have laid their sins at Jesus' cross and heard His wonderful words of forgiveness. These are people who know they need the heavenly and divine wisdom that God alone gives to cope with life and family today. Today's message is finally about how we care for one another, whatever our age or station in life. If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If God has forgiven your sins, and by Jesus' death and resurrection He has, should we condemn one another? Should we not rather remember what St. Paul says in Romans chapter 8? So, now no condemnation remains for those who are in Christ Jesus. Shouldn't we set out to encourage with our words and to help with our actions people of all ages? To quote St. Paul again, help one another bear these burdens, and so you will carry out the law of Christ. What a great God we have! He will graciously, He will generously aid all people who ask for His wisdom and help. The Heavenly Father, the loving Savior, and the helping and Holy Spirit will guide you. Amen.